As we move into this next part of our service, I want us to think a little bit about what it is that we do here as a church, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. Our vision is that we would be a people who are transformed and shaped by Jesus, and that as He changes us, makes us look and act and talk more like Jesus, that we would have an impact, that same transforming impact in our community, but not just in Cochrane, but in our country, Canada, and around the world. And so a lot of what we do here on Sundays, as we come, we spend some time worshiping Jesus, focusing on what He's done, praying, using song to give Him glory. And often then we are sitting under the authority of Scripture. And that's what sermons are about, giving God an opportunity to speak to us through His Word so He can change us, shape us, shift our attitude, focus us on what is real and away from what is not real or not true or not valuable. Part of what I hear as I listen to you talk or ask me questions during the week, we often wonder, okay, we believe that God is up to transforming work. We know that's our mission, but what's actually happening? Is God changing us? Are we, as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, making any difference in Cochrane? Is anything happening? Is the word about Jesus getting out? Are people's lives changing at all because God is at work in them? And the answer to that question is yes, absolutely. For instance, last week, as we gathered, we came around the communion table. I want to let you know that in our first service, someone made a decision to become part of God's family before they came and participated in the communion meal. And approximately at the same time, in Sunday school, another young person made that same decision to ask Christ into their life and begin the journey of following Jesus. So, yes, absolutely. Part of the danger of being a preacher, however, is that you don't get to hear those stories very much. You don't always get to know what's happening in the broader context of our ministry. So today, we want to take a little pause from our look at Scripture to allow you to hear a little bit of what is happening in us and through us as Jesus uses us to touch people. So what we're going to do is have a few stories and opportunities for you to hear what's going on, and also you'll be invited a little bit deeper to get involved in this transformational work that we say we're up to. So first of all, we're going to hear from our Guatemala team. You'll know that just a few weeks ago, there was a big group of our students and leaders who were in San Raimundo, Guatemala. They're going to tell you about what happened there and how God used that within them. Then I'm going to invite Mike Potker, who is on our staff team, recently was in Thailand, where a group of more than 100 Alliance missionaries were meeting there to talk about their work in Southeast Asia. He's going to tell you just a little snippet of what's happening there. And then we've been talking about Built to Build. What is God doing through this building? How are we feeling called forward by God to pay off some of our debt? And how might you want to be a part of that? Ian McCullough is going to share a little bit about what we're doing through Built to Build and how you can get involved. And finally, we're going to hear how God is using one of our ministries to do transformative work in touching some of the painful, tender spots in their life. And so I'm going to start up by asking Jason and Wendy and a couple of the youth team to share. But what we're doing this morning is hearing how Jesus is up to transformational work among us and through us. So guys, come on up.
My name is Wendy Ellerby. About a month ago, I had the privilege of going to San Raimundo, Guatemala with 17 youth and leaders. Although we were only there 6 days, we accomplished a lot. Sunday morning, we hosted a kids' carnival with approximately 200 kids from the community, school, and church. There were a variety of stations where kids could try out different games and, of course, lots of candy. We built and painted 8 benches for the school children to use in the courtyard. We assembled 40 hampers, food hampers, to deliver to families in need in the community. These included essential food items and laundry items, such as well as some treats. One little girl was so excited to receive a box of cornflakes. Six team members led worship during the Sunday church service, and 10 gave their testimony throughout the week. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we split our team into three groups and went into classrooms to teach English to 140 students. Younger grades learned numbers, colors, and animals. Older grades were more advanced, learning about the calendar with days of the week and months of the year. The project I was most excited about was building two bus shelters in the community. We painstakingly dug holes into gravelly soil for posts and mixed lots of concrete by hand in the street to make these shelters happen. They offer a place for people to wait out of the rain during rainy season and to have a break from the hot sun during the dry season. Our church's vision here in Cochrane is to reach out into our community with the love of Jesus. 6,000 miles away in San Raimundo, Guatemala, Pastor Victor and Jesus Vian Church has the same vision. Although two bus shelters may not seem to make much impact, Pastor Victor tells us that these are the only two bus shelters in all of San Raimundo, and they offer the church a way to increase their profile and help their community. By building these shelters, our team had a small part in helping their church reach out in their community. After the shelters were built, we held a grand opening at each location. We handed out snack bags and Spanish Bibles with info about the church. Jonah Barkley is here to share how this impacted him.
So, in Guatemala, when we were building bus shelters, it was just really cool because all the people would stop in their trucks and pull up and tell us what a great job we were doing and how happy they were that we were here in Guatemala, that we would leave Canada to come help them. They were really open to receiving the Bibles and especially the candy bags, especially the little kids, and it was really cool to just hand those out to people. They were so welcoming in Guatemala and very happy that we were down here.
That's a little bit about our projects, and Daniel's going to come, and like Wendy alluded to, we had opportunity, obviously, while we're down there to share from our own life, and sometimes we don't always know or think that from our own life what we share has much impact while we're down there, but Daniel has some pretty neat perspective and stories about that, and he's going to share with you a little bit of his highlight and how this related to him and his family, actually. Some of his upbringing and his going, and then as well just kind of the impact that sharing his own testimony had while we were in Guatemala.
Hi. So as you all know, I grew up in Ukraine as a missionary kid. And when we landed in Guatemala and we walked outside, all these smells, like, they hit me, like there was like smoke and stray dogs and all these different things. And I just thought, oh, home, you know, because it was so the people, they were so welcoming, and just the climate and everything else, it made me feel so welcomed and comforting, because it, like, it's so, like, similar to Ukraine, and I was just, that was really nice for me. And as you all know, we were able to share our testimonies, and so when I was writing my testimony, usually when I talk about my life, I'm cryptic, not like being fully open, and I'm like just hinting and not just being fully open. And then God was putting the thought on me that I should this time actually be fully open. But then I was deciding that no, maybe just this time I'll hint at it again and not be open. But then I asked one of my teammates, Logan, and he recommended that I'd actually be completely open and leave nothing hidden. And so I decided, well, actually, maybe it is about time that I did that. And so I did, and so I went up, and It's funny. The whole church, turns out, I didn't hear this because I was too nervous, but the whole church was in awe of how tall I was. So I shared openly, and I left nothing hidden. And this, because I did that, that challenged our whole team to be open and talk about their lives. And so by the end of the trip, most of us were in tears. We were just telling everyone about our problems, and it was really amazing. And then for me, when I was thinking, since I took this step, then maybe the next step in my Christian life maybe could be because since I shared openly with that church, that maybe now I can share openly with others. And for example, being baptized. And so that could be maybe my next step.
It was always tough following Daniel in Guatemala, but I could always tell the Guatemala people, not all gringos are created equally. Yeah, it was pretty fun being there with Daniel, and whenever I got tired of kids hanging on me, I just had to say, grande gringo, and then they go and hang all over Daniel. So, but like Daniel said, there were some really amazing things that happened within our team, and a lot of it started because the Holy Spirit did a work within the hearts of our team members. And so we went on Thursday, and Monday night was the first opportunity that we had to share testimony. This is always one thing that the church always asks of us when we go down. And sometimes I wonder, why do you want to hear about our testimonies? How does it really apply to you and your life? Does it really make a difference of you hearing what's happening here in Cochrane or in our lives? And for a lot of our youth too, very limited, right? And in experience. But what we saw and what we learned was Daniel was the first person to go up and share that Monday evening. Him and three others shared very personally and very openly about their own life and where God had met them and about their own struggles. And because of that, as Daniel alluded to, God did a really neat work within our team this time that I have not really seen before, in a way that God really brought us close together and allowed us to work closely together and really have that close community because people chose to open up their lives to one another. And not only did we see that impact within our team and the community and the closeness that happened and the ability to share with one another because one person chose to step out and be open, but it was really neat in our send-off, one of the pastors, Pastor Abraham, when he came up to share, he had let us know, he said, "We really do look forward to when you guys share testimony. But our perspective often down here is that people in North America don't struggle, that they are without challenges. And we got to see that in a whole new way. And I had my perspective changed because our youth chose to be open about their life. They were able to see that here too, in the midst of all that we have, that we do have challenges and struggles, but that we serve and worship the same God. And that same God intersected in their lives just as he does in their lives." And so it was a really neat opportunity for us, just once again, serving in Guatemala, to see that we are the same church and the same family, and to really share those relationships with one another. So it was a very powerful time for us, a good time for the church. Thanks again for praying for us and for partnering with us. As Wendy said, they're doing the same thing we're doing, just getting involved in the community and sharing the gospel and sharing the name of Jesus. So thanks for praying for us. Thanks for supporting us. And hopefully you will get an opportunity yourself to go down one day and experience the things that these guys have. Thank you.
So my name is Ian McCullough. I'm the prayer coordinator for the Built to Build campaign. And as part of the Built to Build committee, I want to bring you up to date and encourage you to prayerfully consider this next phase of our program. I confess I've had the privilege of sharing with you in some of your small groups. You know, those of you who know, the committee has been involved in various small groups for the last few months. And I've been at several groups here, probably two or maybe four groups amongst you, and you guys are kind of growing on me. This place is growing on you. And I just enjoyed hearing the stories, the passion, your heart's desire for this ministry. People are committed to the work of God here at this place, and it's very refreshing. So I want to summarize the campaign, the Build to Build campaign, in 7 words. Can you count? Can everybody count here? 7 words. Cochrane Alliance Church is built to build. Simple as that. First of all, it's built. Our building has been recreated into a larger, more functional, more community-friendly facility. Would you agree with that? Amen. Isn't it great? We hope you're enjoying the facility and the ministries that are taking place. I'm told that our Sunday school attendance is up by 15%. Thank you. I would hoot for that. That's a shout out, right? New programs for adults have been started. Alpha, Freedom Session, The Journey, Connection Cafe. And I must admit, I've been involved with the Alpha group over at the Creekside. And we have one straggler comes in there. His name is William. I don't know if he would ever frequent inside of here. He would be more likely to be over there. And he really enjoys the venue and the small group atmosphere. And it was just amazing seeing him just warm to Christians. And we're hoping that the Lord over time will touch that man's life. Our rentals are in full swing. The diversity of attendance is encouraging. The town of Cochrane is actually renting the facilities here. The town of Cochrane. Wow, I never had the government in my church where I come from, but you guys seem to be able to pull that one off. The Cochrane Pregnancy Care Center and the Rustic Charm Market. And I was here for that. I was actually studying. I actually used one of the rooms here to study for exams. And I get the chance to look out and over and saw that Rustic Charm Market in full swing. It was kind of neat. It's like kind of, you know, selling lambs and sheep at the... No, sorry. It was like a nice community engagement there. All you biblically based people. So as you're well aware, the result of the Open the Door campaign, are you ready for this? $2.1 million was pledged, and $2.1 million came in. The Lord has provided and moved in your hearts, and that campaign was so interesting. You know, we went away for 13 months and dormed with another church, Bull Valley Baptist folk. And we're still here. We're still together. Just amazing. Never heard a church being uprooted and planted somewhere else for over a year and then coming back in. The Lord's amazing. So we're built. Next. Now is the time to build. Now is the time to build. We want to move into a different type of building now. Not a location, but into the lives of our people, of our town, and beyond. And isn't it encouraging to hear how the Lord is doing this already, as the testimonies we just heard? Lives are being built. Families are being built. Community is being built. We are building the vision for Cochrane Alliance Church. The transformation of lives. I'm so glad Jason said this. The transformation of lives for Jesus Christ. So to that end, we have another goal. And that goal is to raise $1.7 million over 2 years. Now, where I come from, when I hear those types of figures, I'm like, wow, I'm a little Cape Bretoner, back farm, backwoods kind of guy. And like, you know, our annual church budget was about $50,000. And to hear those figures, like, wow. But you know what? I'm like, who cares? Our God is big and he can move in the hearts. I just heard what you've done over 3 years. Why can't you not do it again? So why $1.7 million over 2 years? The goal of this amount is to reduce our mortgage and to redirect approximately $5,600 of interest. When you hear the word interest, you think of the word bank, to ministry people's lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I know where I would want to choose. I don't know if I want to help a bank out. This is approximately what it would work out to, roughly $60,000 annual. Now, what does that look like? Translate that for me. I had to go to Mike. Mike, translate what $60,000 looks like annually in ministry dollars. Is it possible? It is. Number one, here's what $60,000 would do for this church. $60,000 pays the total operating costs of this building for 1 year. Our annual missionary budget, both local and global, would be completely satisfied. Digest that. All expenses related to youth and adult programs would be covered. That's incredible. And then, are we growing? Are we growing here? I hope so. Maybe a potential staff member could come on to continue to wash the feet of people here that need love and help. Another staff member. That would be an annual salary, I think so, in Alberta. I think it would be. This target extends the 3-year success of our last campaign and gives new people the opportunity to join. And I'm a newcomer here. I'm only here 2 years. I've vetted your Open the Door campaign. I was researching your church. Remember, I'm the guy who judged your church by the size of your parking lot? Right? Why does this church need us? It turned out that actually we needed you. So, praise the Lord. So, I'm a newcomer here. 2 years. This is my opportunity as a newcomer. And I hope there's newcomers here that will be encouraged to give as well. So, the ask. I want to draw your attention to the pockets in front of you. There are pledge cards. And they look like this. And for those of you who don't know about our campaign, if any of you do not have a case statement here, we have ushers around. If you just raise your hand, we'll just get this into your hands. Only 3 or 4 pages. Lots of pictures. Lots of pictures, right, if you don't like to read. But that's here to help you out. The ushers will be around, so I want to draw your attention to here. So we believe that you'll be changed through the campaign and that our church family will be unified more than ever. Sacrificial giving works that way. So on the pledge cards, we want to encourage you to consider how the Lord is moving you to give. This is an extremely personal transaction between you and the Lord. We make that very clear. I did not request pins to be attached to this so we could prick your finger and dab it. It's not there. There is no pin on this card. So we want to encourage you to prayerfully consider with how the Lord is moving you. I've never been asked to give this way, by the way. As a Christian, I've been in ministry 30 years. I've never been asked to give like this. And my business is now ramping up. And I'm just at the point where we're beginning to feel some traction. And then this project came along. I go, oh, thank you, Jesus, for saving me from the love of money. That's my response. Thank you, Lord. Save me from the love of money. Wonderful. So we want to be very clear. This would be above and beyond your regular giving to the church. And it's for a period of only 2 years. Now, was 2 years a short period of time? I can't believe it's been 2 years since I've been here. It's just gone like that. Gone. So we ask that you pray over the next couple of weeks and complete your pledge cards and return to us by March 29th. And there's a number of ways to do that. You can place it in the offering. You can drop it by the office. There's collection boxes out the front. And my millennial challenge, any millennials amongst us, there's a PushPay app that you can give to, and I'm a proud PushPay dude. I like that, PushPay giver. So we want to invite you to build with us. So in closing, 2 years will go by very quickly. Would you agree with that? They will. In 2 years at this church, all 3 of my children have been baptized. Thank you. Wow. Wow. Rats. Rats. Anyway, my wife has come alive through the journey, and the Lord has used the ministry such as youth group and Alpha to awaken in us a love for his people. It's awesome. So we feel that Cochrane Alliance has built into our lives, and I feel alive. So we feel honored and are asked that you are prayerfully considering what the Lord will do in your life above and beyond what you're doing now. It's an honor, friends, and I'm just so encouraged. And we ask that you would consider that before April 1st. I'd like to pray now, if that's okay with you. I want to pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, again, just to hearing all these testimonies and what you're doing. And thank you, Lord, that this is a church that we can even, Lord, have an opportunity to respond and hear testimonies of what people are doing. Of teenagers down in Guatemala, Lord. I just love hearing that. And SIM cards over in East Asia, Lord. What they can do, how they can impact people. Thank you that we're hearing this, Father. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that lies before us, this campaign. Lord, that we can give to it. And Lord, is it too much? We don't know, Lord. Only you know. Move in our hearts, Lord. And may this be a very personal decision of sacrifice before you. And Lord, may it, of course, be done with a cheerful heart. We love you and can't thank you enough for what you've done through us and in this building. We give you thanks.
Thanks very much, Ian. One more. One of the ministries you've been hearing about even before Christmas is the ministry of... I'm totally blanking. There we go. Freedom Session. I'm still processing what Ian had to share with us. So Freedom Session is a way that we are seeking to see what Jesus might want to do to rewrite the script of our lives. And lots of us have come from challenges, difficulty. There are hurts, things in our past that lock us down, prevent us from being all that God desires us to be. And we have been together in this journey now for a couple months. A lot of the stories and what God is up to there is personal, not good public testimony story time, but I'm really glad that Yolanda Bosma, who is a facilitator and a participant in this year's Freedom Session, is willing to share this morning a little bit about what is happening in that context in her life, and maybe they'll give you a little bit of a picture of what is happening in the lives of people in our community, in our church, as they are coming before Jesus to see what he might want to do to shape them. So, Yolanda, thank you for sharing a little bit what God's up to in your life.
Phone. For some reason, you can't hear me. Sorry. I'm one of 8 facilitators at the Freedom Session, and I think that for those of us who have been in church for years, that it's easy to say that we've dealt with or we've moved past most of the significant issues in our life. We've forgiven others, we've forgiven ourselves, but it's pretty easy for us to look at a coworker, a friend, or a spouse and say, you know, you could really use some freedom in that area. And it's easy to point out where we feel others are living in denial about the junk in their lives. But it's a whole different ballgame when you need to look at yourself. And as facilitators, we've been regularly praying for each other and those in our small groups. We're praying that the Holy Spirit would speak to each of us and reveal what he wants us to see. And that's exactly what's been happening. When I joined Freedom Session, I knew that there were areas of my life that needed healing. You've all heard the analogy of an onion being peeled away layer by layer, and that's exactly what's happening. The Freedom Session videos don't just dump on you and leave you to figure things out. They slowly work through areas of your life, and then with the leading of the Holy Spirit, reveal the lies that you've been believing about God, yourself, and others in your life. One area we've been working through is what we do to escape life. Pain, marriage problems, past hurts, and more. Some of us use screen time, anger, blaming, alcohol, and the list goes on. An exercise we've walked through is called Stepping Out of Insanity. Ken Dick, who's the author of Freedom Session, encouraged us to pray for the Spirit to reveal to us what he would have us look at. And then try to remember when it was that we recalled doing that thing for the first time. And think of what lies we've been believing about ourselves or another person because of that initial event. I wrote down blaming. For me, this is often a go-to when there's big issues in my life. Most often, it's directed at my husband. Although it's just head speak, and I rarely verbalize it, it affects my heart. I had no idea when I first started blaming. I was shocked when a memory from the first years of our marriage popped into my head. I hadn't thought of that in forever. I'd forgiven my husband for it years ago, and in my mind, it was a non-issue. And yet there it was, plain as day. And even though I'd forgiven him, I was still believing the lies that I'd told myself back then about him. And here was this glaring behavior that I've been carrying with me, and I could see how the lies that I'd been believing about John just because of how it was that I viewed that incident. And earlier I said I knew that there were areas of my life that needed healing, but I had no idea that this was one of them. And this is just one small story of how the Holy Spirit is revealing and speaking into this group of 30 people. God's moving and he's changing lives, and it's been very difficult for some of us. If you happen to think of us or Freedom Session, I'd ask that you would pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to speak into our lives, It may be my story or the story of other, stories of others that you might begin to hear will encourage you to look at Freedom Session for yourself. Early in Freedom Session, Ken Dick asked if we would be willing to feel pain, fear, and the memory of rejection. If we could say yes to that, then Satan would have lost his ability to control us in those areas and with those emotions. So as difficult as it may seem, I'm excited to begin walking in even more freedom and see what the Holy Spirit will reveal as we move forward. Might there be something that you need freedom from?
In closing, I just want to reflect on a little piece of scripture with you. One of the earlier sermon series I did as lead pastor here came from the book of 2 Corinthians, and this is from chapter 4. As God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So that we don't look at the troubles we can see now, rather we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. And so I am delighted. This was written 2,000 years ago when the church around the world consisted of maybe a few 10,000 people spread out in this little pinpoint area in the Middle East. And Paul wrote these people in Corinth saying, you know what, I believe that as the life of Jesus touches people, that more and more people are going to experience the work that the gospel does in us. And that as a result of that, God himself is going to receive more and more glory. That story is now continuing in us in North America 2,000 years later. We get to be a part of that ever-increasing song of glory to God, which we'll sing again here in just a couple minutes. But it's a challenge. We have to dig into our junk. We are invited to sacrifice along with God so that ministry can advance. Maybe we are called to leave comfortable lifestyle so that we get to reach more and more people. But even in the midst of that difficulty, that challenge, that struggle, that sacrifice, the big picture is it's all good. It's going in the right direction. We know where the story is going to end. And so we fix our eyes on what God, how God will use all of this, our journeys, our giving, our helping people who are struggling, our courage to face our own sin and brokenness. And we see that in the end, Jesus is going to use it for good. And so I invite you, as we continue this story as a church, to build into people, to be involved in transforming works, to fix your eyes, not just on kind of the day-to-day, what we can do or how we can be involved or just showing up at church, but there is a bigger story that we are playing a part in right now, and it's encouraging to see. Would you stand with me as we pray together? Father, we thank you for these stories, these ways that you are at work in us and through us. And it's amazing to think that we as a people here in the West, in Canada, can be playing a part in touching lives in Central America, in Southeast Asia, and even right here in our home in Cochrane. It's tempting as people, even as a church, to say, well, that's great. Look at us. Look at how awesome we've been. Pat ourselves on the back. We want to step back from that and say, first and foremost, this is your story. This is your work. This is evidence of your transformation in us. And so we want to see, first and foremost, that you get the glory. And yet, you share that glory with us. Some of your glory reflects off of our faces so that when people see us, they don't just see some people, but they see something of God at work in them. Would you continue that reflecting work in us? Make us more like Jesus. Show us how you're calling us to sacrifice, how to serve, how to invest in the lives of others. Encourage us in the midst of our troubles. I know many of us face deep worries, pain, difficulty. We worry about what is coming in the future. And yet, you say in your word, those are light and momentary struggles. How could that be? But in the light of eternity, they are small because you are so big and your promises are gigantic. Help us live in that light, not just today for a few moments on Sunday, but throughout the week and throughout our life as a church. Again, we give you the glory. You are good. Amen.